Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And by the way, in another gospel, it tells this story and says, but the man went out and published it. If Christ saves you, I mean, you gotta just, how can you not tell people that I got saved? I know that I'm going to heaven. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. The centurion was a leader, and he said, I'm under authority too, and I have people under authority under me. Never think that you're your own boss. If nothing else, men, the Bible says that God is our head, and we're to be obedient to him and his word. It said, I have soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you that I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about people being saved. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he's speaking of those there in Israel at that time who were going to reject him as Savior. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And I'm going to preach on this thought this morning. It's going to make sense a little bit later. This is the title, I Will, But Will I? I Will, But Will I? Let's pray. Lord, would you bless the message today? Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray for the young people, having come off the lesson we just talked about giving their life to Christ and living right. I pray, God, that if you began to reveal anything in their life that was wrong, I pray that before we leave here this morning, they'll get it right with you at the altar. I pray for adults in here. I pray for anyone in here that may not know Christ as their Savior, that, Lord, they'd be saved today. And then, Lord, all of us, that we'd be willing to do what you want us to do in life, and we'll ask you to bless. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. One day, just after Christ began his public ministry, somewhere around 30 years old, he began his public ministry that lasted for about 3.5 years. But one day, just right after he started that public ministry, he walked into the synagogue in Nazareth, and there in Nazareth, he was invited to speak. And I went to Israel about 18 years ago now, and I actually got to walk in the ruins of this synagogue there in Capernaum. Right now we're in Nazareth, but in Capernaum, I was in Nazareth also, but I was able to go in the synagogue there in Capernaum. But right after his public ministry began, he was asked to speak there in Nazareth, that where he had grown up, basically like being invited to speak in the church that you grew up in. And the Lord stood up there in that synagogue there in Nazareth, and he began to read from the book of Isaiah some scripture that concerned himself. Now, I'm going to read it to you out of Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16. The Bible says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in synagogue were fastened on him. And so there, he stood up and read scriptures that talked about what he, as Christ, had come to do. And without a doubt, Jesus preached salvation by grace through faith in his name alone. He did not preach another gospel. He didn't get up and preach on how to be a Baptist or a Methodist or Church of Christ or whatever else it may be. He preached repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that Jesus oftentimes met someone's physical need while he was also attempting to meet their spiritual need of salvation. We'll have folks stop by the church and need a little help from time to time with certain physical needs like a meal or some groceries. And we try to help them, and at the same time we give them the gospel, because really that's what's going to change your life. An example is found in John chapter number 6, and you could turn there. But in John chapter number 6 is where we read the story of how the Lord used that little lad and the lunch that he had. And Jesus fed fish and bread to thousands of people. So they were hungry. They needed food physically. So he fed them. And then he tried to illustrate to them that he was the living bread sent from heaven to give them eternal life. Of course, everyone accepted the physical food, but many rejected the spiritual food. Just like today, many people want their rent paid, but they refuse to repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, honestly, while we all may need a little help from time to time, we need the spiritual far more than we need the physical. And Jesus said that in John chapter 6 after feeding the bread and fish. Look at verse number 26. Jesus said, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." You just want more food. You want another handout. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Hey, this is important. He's about to tell them how to work their way to heaven. The next verse says this, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." I like that. You want to work your way to heaven? The work of God is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he, Jesus, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore, give us this bread." When someone gets saved, you know what they're saying? Give us this bread. Give us that bread from heaven. Give us that salvation, that eternal life. And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." You say, you mean we'll never have to eat physically again? That's not what he's talking about. But how many years have you lived your life and tried to fill it with everything, with money, with friends, with fortune, with fame, with houses, with cars, with cell phones, with trips, with all of these things, and yet there still seems to be an emptiness on the inside? Because it's an emptiness that only Jesus can fill. He said, "But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that day." And friend, listen, I pray that as I preach this morning, and many of you were here last week, and as Brother Ballard preached, I pray that by faith you can see the Son of God today. You can see that Christ paid your sin debt on the cross of Calvary. If your sin doesn't bother you, there's a good chance you need to be saved today. You need to be born again. Now back in our text, in Matthew chapter number 8, I want you to see this with me. Because in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus met a couple of people with great physical needs. He met a leper with a debilitating disease that caused him to be an outcast of society. A leper, when you had leprosy, you were cast out of your house, you were cast out of the city that you lived in, and you could not come within a football field of anyone, not your kids, your grandkids, your family, your friends, your church, no one. So he met this leper. He also met a man or heard about a man with some sort of paralysis in his body. The centurion who was asking for this man to be healed said that he lieth at home. So we assume that this man could not walk. And another passage says that he was sick unto death. So maybe without being able to walk, you know, he laid there, maybe got pneumonia or whatever it may be. And he was nearing death. Now, I love the fact that our all-powerful Creator God was personal enough and compassionate enough to heal their physical ailments. Look in chapter 8 there in verse 2. He could have said, I don't have time for an individual, but he has time for individuals. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Verse 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Later on, he heals the leper. He heals the centurion's servant. Later on, Christ there in Capernaum walks right across the street. I've also been here, the place where there are ruins there now. But they say that's where Peter's house was. He walks out of that synagogue, walks into Peter's house, sees his mother-in-law there laying on the couch sick with a fever. Look at verse 14. God heals her. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. In fact, that entire day, Christ was busy healing people and casting out devils. Late into the evening, the great physician was doing his work there in Capernaum. Look at verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So Christ was busy there in Nazareth and then in Capernaum. Now, twice in our text, and I'm going to preach in just a minute. I'm just kind of building the intro, the foundation. Twice in our text, Jesus made one of the most encouraging statements. Look at chapter 8 there in Matthew, verse number 2 again. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Listen to this. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. He could have said, don't have time for you. He could have said, I too many people around right now. He said, I will. Look at verse number 5. And again, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. He never even asked the question. Jesus said unto him, I will. I will. He said, I will come and heal him. And it got me to thinking about the I wills of Jesus that we find in the Word of God. Let's look at them together. Look at Matthew chapter 9. You're in Matthew 8. Look at Matthew chapter number 9. Let me give you a list of some of the I wills of the Lord. See if this doesn't encourage you today as a child of God. First of all, in Matthew 9, I see that the Lord said, I will have mercy. I will have mercy. Look at verse 10. It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? By the way, we were all born sinners, lost and on our way to hell. There are two types of sinners in this room today. Those that have accepted Christ by faith as their Savior, and those who have not yet. Those who have accepted Christ are on the way to heaven. Those who have not made a personal profession of faith, trusted Christ as Savior, are on your way to a devil's hell. You need to be saved today. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So this was the Pharisee crowd. the goody two shoes, the holier than thou. And they come to Jesus. They were all lost and on the way to hell, by the way, the Pharisees. They come to Jesus and say, I can't believe you're hanging out with that kind of crowd. And Jesus says, hey, you do what you want, but I will have mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. We deserve hell forever, but yet God shows mercy to us. Thank God for His mercy. The Bible says over in the book of Titus, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. We can never work our way into heaven. We can never pay our sin debt, but Christ paid our sin debt on the cross of Calvary, and He extends mercy to us the moment that we believe. I love the fact that God said, I will have mercy. Look at Matthew chapter number 11 there with me if you would. Not only did He say, I will have mercy, but I notice also that He says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Now, we like to use that to talk about, hey, you've been busy serving God and that God will give you rest. But honestly, in Matthew 11, taking it textually, it's talking about salvation. It's talking about true salvation. Notice how Matthew 11 and verse 20 starts. Look at the crowd. Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done because they repented not. They repented not. He's telling them, you refuse to repent. You refuse to turn from your sins and turn to your Savior. Then He goes on to say to that crowd in verse 28, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. You notice there He doesn't say, you shall find rest for your body. Now God does give us rest, and it can be applied there. But He's saying, hey, you could be born again. You're trying to work your way to heaven. You're hoping you're going to be good enough one day to get into heaven. He says, that's not the way it is. He said, learn of Me. I'm the Savior of the world. And if you'll trust in Me, I will give you rest. I'll give rest to your souls. Isn't it wonderful to be saved and rest in the fact that when I die, this whole body's going to the grave, but this soul is going to heaven. God said, I will have mercy. He said, I will give you rest. Turn to John chapter 14 if you're using your Bible there. John chapter number 14. Here's one that's really a blessing. As a child of God that I noticed that God said, I will. He said, number three, He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. And friend, listen, I don't know what we would do in this life without the Spirit of God to guide us, to help us, to comfort us, to lead us, to teach us, to convict us, to fill us with God's power. But He says in John 14 and verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 16, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter. Hey, I'm so glad that as a child of God, as soon as I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came to live within me. Maybe you've been taught, maybe you've been trained in some sort of a charismatic movement. There is not, you get down the road and then you get the Holy Spirit. According to the Bible in Romans chapter 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So what that tells us in Romans chapter 8 is the moment I got born again, the Holy Spirit of God came to live within my body. Ephesians 1 says He came in to seal me until the day of redemption. I'm so glad that God said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter number 6. I could preach on all of them for a while, but we don't have time. John chapter number 6. Let me give you another one that as a Christian we could rejoice in. I reworded it kind of from what He said in the verse there, but it means the same thing. But He says this, I will take no one's salvation away. I will take no one's salvation away. I believe once saved, always saved. So why do you believe that, preacher? Because that's what the Bible teaches. And I believe that the moment I got born again, I got adopted into the family of God. And look what He said in John 6 and verse number 35. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Back to that passage where we were talking about Him being the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. He that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen Me and believe not. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. Notice this. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, no way, no how cast out. I'm glad every day I wake up, I'm saved. Saw somebody recently, kind of walking across church, just had a little attitude. You could tell this person just had a little attitude. My wife was standing by me, and I said, I just don't see the point of people having an attitude like that. We all have bad days. But like, I heard a door slamming, and somebody just comes around the corner. I was like, oh, good grief. One of those you expect. I thought, why have an attitude like that? My wife said, well, it's just her normal settings. Think about that. You know, every one of us wake up every day with our normal settings. You know what my normal setting is? Throw something through a wall. I don't do it unless I'm in Dallas traffic, but that's my normal setting. We have to wake up and we have to ask God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, because if I live in my flesh today, I'm going to get in a fight. If I live in my flesh today, I'm going to cuss somebody. If I live in my flesh today, I'm going to yell at my wife. If I live in my flesh today, I'm going to pop off to my parents. We have to ask God to help us not to live that way. But here's the thing I'm glad about, because I have some bad days. I'm glad God doesn't say, you're not saved anymore. Some people believe that. That's not in the Bible, and I'd hate to live with that kind of fear. I know a crowd, and I love the people, but I know some people that believe in that false teaching. And I've asked them this. Okay, so where's the list that says this is how you lose your salvation? Well, there's not a list, but I mean, if you murder someone, I say, all right, well, I get the idea that you'd think a child of God wouldn't kill someone, but, you know, they could be controlled by medicine and just really mess their life up. But I say, so let me ask you this. If I'm falling off a downtown Dallas, I'm in a skyscraper, I fall out the window, I'm scared to death, and I holler out a cuss word on my way down, am I going to hell? Well, no. Wait a minute. The Bible says in the book of James, all sin is sin. That we categorize sin. We say, well, your sin is worse than mine. Aren't you glad, and I'm not giving you permission to go kill somebody today, but aren't you glad that our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? And God says, I will in no wise cast out. Look at Matthew chapter number 4. Here's another I will of Christ. Matthew chapter number 4. Just going to read you one verse, but here's what I saw that he said. The Lord said, I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4 and verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know what that means? God wants us to tell people about Christ. You say, I haven't had any training. Listen, folks, the maniac of Gadara, the demon-possessed dude that was bound in chains in the cemetery and was cutting himself and was so filled with demonic power, he would break the chains. But in one moment's time, he trusted Christ as his Savior. And that night, he began to tell other people how he trusted Christ as his Savior. God wants us to be fishers of men. And I realize that there are many that don't want to listen. Brother Ballard loves to fish, and he and Joshua spent a lot of time fishing. This week, I don't enjoy fishing that much. I like to hunt, but I didn't go. We went one time together out to a pond and did some fishing. But friend, listen, Josh would come on and say, how many did y'all catch? Nothing. I said, well, that stinks. And he'd say, yeah, Dad, but it was a good time. And I understand a young man with a hero preacher or whatever. I said, man, that's why I don't go right there, man. I'd rather work in the office than to not catch anything. But you know what? He wanted to go the next day. And he wanted to go the next day. And he comes to my office yesterday. Him and Blaine were visiting the bus route together. He's like, Dad, you know, I told you I'd do some schoolwork this afternoon. I'm not making this up. This is Joshua, too, the way he talks to me. So, Dad, yo. And I'm just looking up from my desk. Joshua, dude, I got a lot going on. He's like, so we were going to go out and go crappie fishing this afternoon. I said, when are you going to do that? When are you going to do that? That schoolwork? Oh, Dad! Hey! You know, I get it. You know, 5 minutes later, he comes in. He's like, "So, Dad, hey, you know, stuff happens, right? You know." I said, "What?" He said, "Well, we were out in the parking lot. I was trying to fix my fishing pole, and I went to cast it. And well, anyhow, there's a rubber crawl, Dad, and a hook and a weight hanging from the power line now out front in the church. Y'all pray for me, man. 16-year-old." I went outside. I was like, Joshua, dude, that looks trashy, man. And anyhow, he's just like his Uncle Shane. Everything's funny. So we got it down, and they went fishing. I think they caught one fish and maybe nearly got eaten by a snake. But Joshua just loves fish. You know what? Jesus says, I just want you to love me enough. Just love to tell people about me. You say, I don't talk to folks. Hey, cards will speak for themselves. Grab those gospel tracts out there. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Hey, look at John 14. John 14, not that any of it gets better, but it seems to be getting better here. John 14, I like this. He says, I will answer your prayers. Aren't you glad we have a God in heaven that does not ignore us? You say, well, I mean, what about, he didn't answer my prayer my way. Well, God knows. The Bible tells us that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So sometimes what I think is right for my life, God knows is not right for my life. But he never ignores us. All right, so John says this, chapter 14 and verse 13. Jesus said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hey, you know, if you're a child of God, you can pray and talk to God as much as a preacher can. You say, well, I just got saved. Doesn't matter. You're still part of the same family, and you can still talk to the same God. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. Talk to God like you would talk to your best friend. Talk to God like you would talk to your spouse. Well, no. Don't always talk to God like you would talk to your spouse. But I'm telling you, there's something comforting in knowing I could drive down the road and talk to the Lord about my burdens. And I'm telling you, friend, according to the Bible, he's listening. He said in Matthew 16:18, I'm going to move on for sake of time, but he said in Matthew 16:18, and I will build my church. And I'm glad, as we were praying in the men's prayer meeting this morning and just praying that God would do something today, I'm glad that it's God, not us. It's not our abilities. It's the power of God that'll build his church. I like John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. He said, I will have mercy. He said, I will give you rest. He said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. He said, I will take no one's salvation away. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll answer your prayers. I'll build my church. I'll come again. He also says, I'll see you again. He told the disciples that in John 16 and verse number 22. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And then he told him, he said, you know what? I will reward you for your faithful work. I'll reward you for your faithful work. You know what God wants us to do? Just be faithful. Whether you're a doorkeeper at the church, just be faithful. Whether you clean the toilets, just be faithful. If you teach a Sunday school class, just be faithful. If you're a prayer warrior, just be faithful. And God said in Matthew 25 and verse number 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. And at the back of the book in Revelation 22, the Lord said this, Revelation 22:13, he said, verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I'll have mercy. God says, I'll give you rest. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I will take no one's salvation away. I will make you fishers of men. I will answer your prayers. I will build my church. I will come again. I'll see you again. I'll reward you for your faithfulness to serve me, live for me, in this life. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the I wills of Christ. Now, the title of the message is, I will, but will I? You see, we've read what Christ said, I will do. But now the question becomes, are we willing to do what God wants us to do? Are we just takers? We're becoming a society of takers. When is the next check coming? Who's going to bail us out next? Well, they ought to give me that, and they owe me that. And listen, I was raised, no one owes you anything. But we're getting to that place, and it's creeping into the church now. What's been done for me lately, and I'm afraid it's creeping into our Christianity. God, what else can you do for me? I want you to notice back in Matthew chapter 8 here, just the next few moments. We see the leper cleansed. We see the paralyzed healed. We see the mother-in-law cured. We see the devils cast out. We see God doing what He said, I will do. But then it came time for the crowd to do their part. And I want you to notice what happened in verse number 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow Thee. I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. And another of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. So Jesus, they're watching Jesus heal these people. Will you heal me? I will. Will you heal my servant? I will. Will you heal my mother-in-law? I will. Will you cast out the devil out of my son, out of my husband, out of my wife? I will. Then it comes time for the crowd to decide what they're going to do. And you know what their response basically was? The same response a lot of us have. Lord, I will follow you if. Or, Lord, yes. Oh, God's been so good to me. Thank God for the I wills of God. So, Lord, I will follow you when. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would we just conditionally surrender our life to the one who gave His life that we might be saved from hell fire? You know what the world has to have today? Is some all-in Christians. All the way in. Are you with me? All the way in. I realize we're coming out of a year of virus and we're all just getting cranked back up and deciding what's right and what's left and where we head. But I'm telling you, this world is falling apart fast and our nation is going to hell fast. And friend, listen, we've got to have some young people and some moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that will not sell out to the world, but will sell out to God and say, God, I'll follow you. You've been so good to me. I'll follow you no matter what. We must have some all-in Christians, not backslidden Christians. Not the one foot in, one foot out Christian. Not riding the fence Christian. But I mean all in. So my question to you this morning is this. Are you all in? Are you all in, teenager? Talked about it in Sunday school a little bit about presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hey, are you all in? Let me encourage you today, young people. Hey, just like a young man did last Sunday morning who's here today, rededicate your life to Christ. You don't have to get re-saved if you've been born again, but say, God, I've been wandering. I've been going in a wrong direction. I've done some things I shouldn't be doing. Confess it as sin today and get right with the Lord. I know there are many adults in here who need to get right, need to get rededicated, need to get recommitted to the things of God, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. The Lord said, I will, but the question is, now will I? Here's the decision. Let me leave you with three decisions. Here are the decisions that each one of us need to make. We have to make at some point in our life in this room. Number one is this, I will follow Christ wholeheartedly with my life without condition. Without condition. See, the fellow comes up to Christ and he says, boy, He's done a lot for these people. He's done a lot for me. And he says, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. I'm in all the way. You know what God said? You know what Christ says there? He says, you know, I don't even have a house. He says, the foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. You never hear from that fellow again. See, here's what happens today. God, I will follow You with my life as long as I can have this house, this car, this income, this career, this retirement. If I can have all of that, I might be at church on Sunday morning. God help us. God help us. We play games with God. When I was a kid in junior high, we played that game where you wrote down which girl you were going to marry, which vehicle, you remember, Brother Richard, which vehicle you were going to have when you were an adult, how many kids you were going to have, you know, 0, 0, 1, 1.5. Some of y'all were like 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. But, and we're going to live in a, you remember that? We're going to live in a tent. We're going to live in an RV. We're going to live in a mansion. We're going to live, you know, and none of that came to fruition except mine, my wife, when I had her name on there, you know, before she was ever born, I had her name on there and just was waiting on God. But we do that and we play that game. It's, oh, you're going to have 42 kids and you're going to live in a gutter and you're going to drive Jed Clampett's truck and, you know. And it's like we take our whole Christian life instead of just selling out saying, this is me, that's not me, this is me. The street dance is not me, church is me. Amen. Cussing and carrying on is not me, living for God is me. Amen. Raising my kids in church and then out of church and then in church and out of church. That's not me, raising my kids in church. That's me. God says, I'll give you this, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. Can't we just say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve God unconditionally. Amen. You've heard me say it many, many times. We live in a pier and beam house built in 1965. It's just about paid off. Gets pretty cold during the winter. Gets pretty hot sometimes during the summer. But friend, listen to me. I'm all for if you can get a nicer house or whatever. My parents may build one when they move here. We don't know what they're going to do yet. But I'm just telling you this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. See, when I started, the deacon said, hey, do you want the parsonage? That's where my parents used to live, where I grew up. Brick house down here on Gordon Street. I said, I don't want the parsonage. Number one, it was just a sore issue at the time in our church. Number two, I grew up there, and I thought, if I stay there, my brothers will come back. I don't want to do that. I need an address they can't find. Number three, we already lived in that house out there. Now, whatever God gives you, vehicle-wise, or I drive a nice vehicle because my house payment's $500-something a month. But what I'm saying is we got to get off of all this. God, I'll tell you what, I'm going to follow you if you'll do this, this, and this. God owes us nothing. So number one, I will follow Christ wholeheartedly with my life without condition. Number two is this. Let's make this decision. I will follow Christ wholeheartedly with my life without excuse. Without excuse. There's another passage, and it's not the same people at the same time, but another passage where the Bible says they started making excuses. Luke 14:18. They all with one consent. Listen to these sorry excuses. They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. Well, forgive me for this non-pastoral term, but you moron, you bought land you never even looked at? He's just making an excuse. The other said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. Hey, dummy. Think maybe you should have tested them out before you bought them at the oxen auction? You're just making excuses. The other one said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. All right, I get it. But anyways, no. But I've married a wife. They're just making all kinds of excuses. I walked in the store the other day. I'm just about done. I'm hungry. I'm ready to go eat too. I look like Joshua right now. Hey, Dad, there's a lure on the parable. I walk in the store the other day. Listen, guy pushing shopping carts. Works there, pushing shopping carts. He said, how you doing today? I said, sir, I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. How you doing? He said, I'm doing great. Older man pushing a shopping cart. Here's the thing about it, guys. He didn't have any arms. He had 2 hooks. And he's working. Isn't that a novel idea in this country today? But he's working with hooks. But we will use every excuse in the world. I've taken a wife, therefore I cannot come. Amen, Brother Trent? I've taken a girlfriend, therefore I cannot come. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. My right foot's been killing me for the last 24 hours. But it wasn't killing you 48 hours ago at the birthday party. I'm not trying to preach ugly. I'm trying to just be honest, folks. We come up with all kinds of, well, Pastor, I know we ain't been at church in a while. You know, it's just unsafe. But it wasn't unsafe to go to the family reunion. Come on. Let's just get honest with God and say, you know what? God has done a lot for me. I will follow him with my life. No more conditions. If God takes it all from me, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to follow God without excuse. One last one, we're done. Look at this, back in our text in Matthew 8. I will follow Christ wholeheartedly with my life without delay. Without delay. The one fellow said, another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Now, I can't stand up here and explain to you exactly what Christ's motive was there. Don't go to the funeral. We can do all kinds of deep research, but the truth of the matter is, God's just saying, hey, we're running out of time. We're running out of time. Young people, if God's calling you to a certain ministry, or God got a hold of your heart this morning in Sunday school, and if you don't get right when God speaks to you, you'll look up and you'll be a 22-year-old, divorced, kids, just stuff that it wasn't in that game you played. That wasn't in the plan. But what you did was you made excuses and you said, God, eventually I'll get right. Folks, there are people in hell today who would say, eventually I'm going to get saved. Now, I just say to you this morning, God's been good to us. God has been good. I gave you 10 I wills and there are several more in the Bible. I'm glad he's coming back one day. But what I have to do is say, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you lead me. Whatever it means I have to drive, wherever it means I have to live, whatever it means, it doesn't matter, God. Here's a blank sheet of paper. Here's a blank check. I'm going to sign it. God, you fill it out. Whatever you want from my life. And then let's stop making excuses. Let's stop making excuses. You know how God's dealing with your heart today. Let's not delay what God wants us to do. Maybe you're here today and you know that you're not saved. Don't delay it anymore. Our altar workers take a Bible, show you how to be saved. Wonderful day in your life. There's a new name written down in glory. It could be yours today.